Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Scott. Another episode, another Friday.
Here we go. We made it.
Another several cups of coffee.
Ready and raring to go.
All right. So, what would you like to talk about today? I feel like I ask that question every week. I need to switch up our intro.
Yeah, you should ask me what I want to talk about next week, because then I have no idea. Let's see. This week, we are going to flip back to Azure real quick, and we are going to talk about one of the current hidden gems of the Azure portal and Azure automation toolset called the Azure Cloud Shell.
All right. This is going to be an interesting topic. I have played with the Azure Cloud Shell a little bit. I think you have used it more extensively than I, especially within the last 24 hours.
You're missing out on life, man.
I know. You had a whole Twitter conversation. Did anybody else ever pipe in on your Twitter conversation with yourself yesterday?
No, I just talked to myself. I like to see the threads fly.
Yes, you had a whole Twitter conversation with yourself yesterday, but we're going to get into that Twitter conversation and what you did with it more a little bit later. But first, let's start off and introduce people to the Cloud Shell and what it actually is.
Azure Cloud Shell is a browser accessible shell for managing Azure resources. It's effectively a bash or a PowerShell shell that you can go ahead and access on the fly in a bunch of different ways. So it can be accessed through the Azure portal. There's just a button up in the toolbar for it. Looks like a little shell. It'll go ahead and launch bash by default. You can change into PowerShell if you want. Because it's accessible just through a web browser that way, there's a bunch of other ways that we can get to it. One of those is through just the URL, shell.azure.com. You can also access the shell today via mobile applications. So there's an Azure mobile application available for both iOS and Android, which again lets you go ahead and launch into those shell instances. So the shell is kind of just sitting there waiting for you, ready to go. And what it's got is a bunch of pre-installed tooling, and it's basically pre-wired to work with Azure, and then we can extend it a little bit and make it do a couple other things.
That's cool. I like the mobile device, but have you ever tried typing a script on a mobile device?
So it's not great for typing a script on a mobile device, but what it is really good for is storing your scripts in your Cloud Shell and then being able to take them on the go. So, you know, I think I opened up and said this is I consider it kind of an automation component. So being able to take some of those tasks mobile that you might have already scripted out and have kind of pre-baked stuff ready to go for, it's really nice to just have access to log in from a mobile device and say, hey, I've got that script that shuts down all my dev VMs because maybe I didn't schedule it, or I want them on demand or something else, or vice versa, start them, or hey, spin up a whole dev environment for me. You can go ahead and just go ahead and log in from a mobile device and not have to write the whole thing out and do like VI or Nano or anything like that in a mobile device session, but just, you know, like dot source a PowerShell file or go ahead and execute something in a bash shell.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit more, because we have this shell. It's running in the browser. It's running up in the cloud. Obviously, it's running up in Azure, so it's got to be using some resources under the covers. It's got to be leveraging a VM, a service, something. Is there a cost to actually using the Azure Cloud Shell?
There is no cost to leveraging the shell. So it's free to go ahead and spin it up as far as being able to log in and execute it. We'll talk about storage in a second, because there is a cost component, minimal, that comes into play there. As for what the Cloud Shell is, so you said it's got to be using something in Azure, VMs or something else. It is using something in Azure. It's using containers. So when you go out, if you want like a case study on a large scale implementation of ACI, Azure container instances, guess what? Cloud Shell, ready to go and sitting there ready to go for you. So it's kind of, depending on where they're at in life cycle, it's ACS or ACI. And I'd imagine over time, eventually that transitions into AKS or something else. So what you're getting is a dedicated slice of the pie from a container instance spun up for you. And then because that's a container, it always comes up in a common state. It has some common tooling and everything ready to go. So when you think about spinning up a bash shell, right? So I want to go ahead and maybe you do like WSL on your Windows box, or you run Linux, or, you know, typically maybe I would stand up like a Linux VM to go ahead and SSH into and have access to my tooling. You might actually have access to a lot of your tooling inside the Cloud Shell. So first and foremost, it comes with native connectivity to your Azure subscriptions. So the Cloud Shell for the Bash shell already has the Azure CLI pre-installed. And in PowerShell, it already has the Azure PowerShell commandlets pre-installed. And not only pre-installed, but pre-authenticated for you. Because when we authenticate to the shell, we go ahead and authenticate with the same account that we're going to go ahead and get into our subscriptions with. So automatically, I can go in. And if you think about having a script where maybe I'm doing like, I don't know. I've got like an Azure CLI script, and I would have to go through all the bootstrapping of like AZ login and subscription selection and all those kinds of things. It might actually be all pre-wired up and ready to go for you. So that's really cool. Includes the CLI in Bash, both V1 and V2. So awesome. You've got all that. You also have common access to native tooling like AZ copy. So if you want to do a bunch of like storage copies, things like that, the Service Fabric CLI is included, common editors, Vim, Nano, so like VI, Emacs. And then you get into some source control and build tooling. So you have native access to Git within your Cloud Shell, and then even build tools like Make and NPM and Pip. You can do native container orchestration. It includes kubectl, the Docker CLI. You can do Helm, all just sitting there ready to go. Heck, you even want to like do some Python. There's a Python client. They have native Ansible available in the Cloud Shell. And they just added Terraform recently too. So if you're doing kind of infrastructure as code and orchestration at that level, all set and ready to go. So if you think about, I have this thing and I have this native kind of tooling set that I always want to work with, what's the best way for me to get at it? Just log into a Cloud Shell. It's all sitting there ready to go for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes sense then why it too, it can take a little while. If you go to shell.azure.com or launch it on a mobile device or launch it in the Azure portal, it definitely takes some time to spin up. You request a Cloud Shell, it has to connect, spin a bunch of things up, add that tooling, and being in containers, you're probably waiting for a new container to spin up, get going. You also mentioned that running your own scripts or adding additional, maybe you want to add additional modules to it. If you're doing some third-party Azure modules or something that you attempted yesterday that we'll talk about in a minute, I'm going to keep people on the edge of their seats this whole episode about what you actually did. Or they've gone and looked at Twitter already. But if I'm running all this on my local machine, I have a terminal, I have my local hard drive, I can store scripts there, I can install modules there. Here, if I'm spinning up a new container every time, I'm not sitting on the same instance of a computer. If I'm writing scripts and saving scripts somewhere and I kill my Cloud Shell session, I'm assuming it kills the container. Is there a place I can store all this? Is there something I can do to save these scripts and then connect them with my Cloud Shell so that they're available when I go in there? So like you said, I can run them from a mobile device, or again, as I spin up different instances of this Cloud Shell, I have access to all of those scripts.
Absolutely. So one of the very first things that happens when you spin up your Cloud Shell is you are going to be asked to point it to a storage account. So it's going to tell you that there's no storage mounted and you need to go ahead and point it at a storage account. So it can create one for you, or you can use a pre-existing storage account. And what it does is it leverages that Azure storage account for what's called your cloud drive, which is your persisted storage across sessions. So in the case of like a bash shell and your home directory, or PowerShell and like your local user directory, that all gets mounted into your cloud drive. And that way, anytime you spin up a new shell, it mounts the same cloud drive. Or if you have multiple cloud drives, you can go ahead and attach and detach and kind of mount, unmount as you go through. So all that Cloud Shell cloud drive is, like I said, it's a storage account and it's leveraging Azure files. So you're going to have either a pre-existing account or one that you're going to spin up, and then you're just into the native Azure files kind of interface. So if you have common scripts and common tooling that you always want to pull across, or maybe you have common data sets, things like that, anything to kind of get you up and running, bootstrapping, whatever it happens to be, what you can go ahead and do is just go to the Azure portal, use Azure Storage Explorer, anything like that, attach to your storage account, and just load files straight into that SMB share, right? Just that Azure file share. And as soon as you do that, you just go ahead and change directory in your cloud drive. So just CD cloud drive, list the directory, just do an LS, and there you go. There's all the files that are in your cloud drive that you want to push and pull across. So you can start to do some really cool stuff here, particularly in like team build scenarios or anything else. So I don't, you know, some people look at it and they're like, oh, a home drive. Well, that's my home drive. What if you were on like a tool, like a team, and you're responsible for automated builds in your environment with, let's say, like Ansible, right? So we're doing some like post configuration kind of stuff. So I've got all my Ansible constructs, my configuration, everything else. If I put that in a common cloud drive and I give a common set of individuals or service principals or anything else access to that cloud drive, now I can just go to a common shell. Everybody can mount the same thing and we can all work from the same set of scripts, same set of tooling, all those kinds of things. And then if I need to make changes or check things back in, say I'm doing like Git repos, whether those are like GitHub or VSTS Git style repos, I've got native access to that tooling as well. So I can still do push and pull requests and all those kinds of things and just follow through on your existing kind of SDLC or whatever process that you follow for running those environments. See, because that is Azure storage, that's where the cost component comes in. Azure storage is dirt cheap, right? It's really easy to buy pallets of hard drives for somebody like Microsoft. So it's really not that bad. Like we're talking like pennies a month to have access to just about anything you would need at any time you would need it. And because it's just a storage account and Azure files today, I think go up to like 5 terabytes. So we can store a lot of stuff in there and have it mounted and brought across for us.
Got it. Very cool. And because we're just doing CLI and we're all doing text-based stuff, we don't need lots of storage, right?
You might need like 5, 6, 7, 10 gigs, depending on what you're doing and what's going on.
So if you install other modules too, so I'm thinking if you're doing this as PowerShell and you're doing like installing other modules from the gallery, you do an install module, maybe it's the SharePoint PNP, those all get stored in that cloud drive as well, that cloud storage. So next time you come in, you still have all of those modules, or if you're in the CLI and you want to install some other packages in the CLI, do those all get stored in that cloud storage so they're always there? Or do you have to reinstall modules every time?
It depends. So I haven't done the PNP module. So some modules install in different ways, right? They expect to have access to sometimes like system directories and they require elevation and all that good kind of stuff. And because you're in a container, you might not have access to some of that. So in some cases, we can redirect things, right? I can say, hey, this directory maps over to here. Or in the case when I do this install, don't install to the place you usually would. Go ahead and install to this other directory over here that I do have write access to, where I can do writes and executes and all that good kind of stuff. For some modules, say you're just doing actually bringing over just the module itself. Like you're not going into the gallery and doing an install module. Maybe you've already done install module locally and you just want to copy it over. You can go ahead and just lift that PSM file or PSD one, you know, whatever it happens to be, and just shove it into your cloud drive and then be able to go and reference it that way if you wanted to.
Got it.
It gets a little bit different on depending on like the tool set and tool chain. So specifically for things like NPM, like Node's package manager, when we try and get in into a lot of NPM packages do global installs, and we don't have access to those directories either, but NPM lets us actually like redirect the global install directory. So we can basically recreate that locally in our cloud drive or in our persisted home drive. And that way, when everything installs, it goes into persisted storage and it's available for every instance that we spin up.
Very cool. There's a lot of fun stuff. I need to go play with this more. I'll be honest, if anybody's listening, the reason I'm asking Scott all the questions is I am a little bit behind on my Azure Cloud Shell. I have not played with it as much. Scott is a smarter man than I am today.
Yeah. Well, so I don't think a lot of people have spent time with it because it was... It wasn't kind of fully baked. It was a lot slower. Like you said, it does take a while to bootstrap and things like that. You know, it used to take minutes. Now it takes like 30 seconds. It's really not that bad today. And you also didn't have access to a lot of that kind of tool set and tool chain that you might need to make the shell a little bit more usable for you for anything other than Azure. It was great, always great for having access to the Azure tooling, but not so great for the other stuff. Now it has the other stuff and they're always adding new things. Going through and seeing something like Terraform in there today, Terraform wasn't there a couple weeks ago. Ansible was, but now to start to have access to those kind of tools makes it really powerful. Because what I can start to do, like I said, is let's combine that with our cloud drive, persisted storage, everything else, and then let's be able to take that same tool set and tool chain everywhere we go. So one of the things, that thing that I was ranting about on Twitter last night, was we interviewed Waldeck a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the Office 365 CLI. So I've been playing around with the CLI locally, and one of the things that annoyed me was I got a new computer recently. And I'm sitting here going like, why am I reinstalling all this crap and just running around? And like, you have no idea, right? But you understand, like, you get a new computer and the pain of having to reinstall it, put Office back on it, and then trying to figure out like, okay, here's WSL. Am I running the right anniversary update? Do I have the right things ready to go here? It's like, wait, hold on. I have access to this other shell that sits up in the cloud and it's always available to me and ready to go. So what if I just installed the CLI up there, bootstrap it once, and then always have it, no matter where I go, no matter which PC I'm on? Like, I have web browser, will work for food, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's not even getting a new PC. I mean, we're all IT guys. We know how much we decide, hey, my PC isn't running well, let me just wipe it out. Obviously, you have a Mac, you don't do it as much, because I only reformat my computer about a quarter of the time you do yours. But I just had to rub that in. Every chance I get.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Much appreciated.
Or your computer goes down and you have to use your wife's computer for a day or somebody else's computer for a day. And I've done it before. I'm like, oh, I can do it for a day. And I start working on it and I'm like, crap, I don't have this installed. I don't have that installed. I'm missing this. I'm missing that. I need to go install this. Before I know it, it's the end of the day and I haven't done any work because I've spent the whole day getting that computer ready. If you have everything like this up in the cloud, it eliminates, like you said, it eliminates a lot of that headache, that pain, that time of going through and resetting this up every single time.
Let's talk through this scenario really quick for installing something like the Office 365 CLI inside of the Bash shell, because it's got some constructs and we'll walk through a couple things which you can use to help you install other tooling along the way. So the first thing we need is we need that cloud drive. And I have found that when you configure the cloud drive and specifically the Azure Files file share that you attach your cloud drive to when you go ahead and mount it, you have this thing called quotas in Azure Files. So I can say, hey, I have this storage account that's capable of 5 terabytes, but maybe I want to have a quota on a given file share and I only want it to be 6 gigs, right? Or 7 gigs or 10 gigs or whatever it happens to be. When you're playing around with some tooling like NPM inside of the Azure Cloud Shell, it's downloading so much, it's using temporary space, it's shifting things around, it'll eat up a lot of space. It doesn't play well with quotas, so just keep that in mind. So I found that the easiest way to do it is to have my Azure file shares that are associated with the cloud drive. And when you're playing around with NPM and bigger projects, is just ditch the quota altogether. You can put it back later once everything's installed and you know how big it's actually going to be. One of the other things that we have to do in the case of something like the Office 365 CLI is we're using NPM in this case to go ahead and do the install and kind of the initial bootstrapping and getting everything layered in. So NPM in the cloud shell, like I said, it's a little bit weird because we don't have access to the global installation directories. But what we can do with NPM is redirect our global directory someplace else. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a new NPM global folder. So we'll just go into like our home drive, right? And we'll do, you know, just mkdir, you know, .npm-global, something like that. We're going to go ahead and update our NPM config. So we'll just, you know, NPM config, set prefix, blah, 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 directory, all good to go there. And then the other thing that we have to do is we have to make sure that that new global directory, which is going to have some things that execute in it, right? It has a bin directory. We're going to need to make sure that that's located in our path so that when everything runs through, we're ready to go. So we need to, in the case of bash, update our bash configuration, like our bash RC file, which isn't too bad either. So, you know, you just go ahead and add a line in there, export your path, make sure we include that new NPM global, and we're good to go. Restart your Cloud Shell, just type exit, and it'll say, hey, reconnect. And that'll just reinstantiate a new version for us, specifically so we pick up that new path and directory, and we're ready to go.
Okay, so when you do exit, it doesn't necessarily kill that whole environment or kill that whole container. It just kind of reloads that session, that terminal?
It'll keep it hanging out in the background for just a little bit for you. So like I said, keep in mind that your storage, anything in your home drive or your cloud drive, is persisted.
Okay.
So storage is persisted. Memory isn't. You know, the things that I might have in like a buffer from like a history perspective, those aren't. But because my home drive is, I can carry these files and configurations with me on a PC to PC or like from PC to mobile or web browser kind of scenario.
Got it. Okay.
At this point, we've spun up a container. We've spun up a Cloud Shell, which is a container. We've given it some storage. Our storage doesn't have a quota. And we said, hey, NPM, you're ready to go. Now, once I've done this NPM global redirect thing just once, I'm all done. I don't need to worry about this ever again for any other NPM tooling that NPM based tooling that I might install. But let's go ahead and keep talking about the Cloud Shell. So, or the Office 365 CLI. So now that I'm all bootstrapped and ready to go, all I have to do is run through the installation tool chain for that CLI, right? So just NPM install. And now I can do a global install. If I hadn't done all that other NPM stuff, the installation would have failed. It would have said, you don't have access to these directories. You're out of storage. You just got like all sorts of weird stuff going on. So this just gets by all that, right? So we just do NPM install -g at pmp/office365-CLI. You wait like 30 seconds because it's super quick and you've got access to Microsoft's nice quick internet backbone. It pulls everything down and you're good. You type Office 365 and you're in your CLI. Now at this point, because it's installed and it's sitting there and it's persisted in storage, go ahead and open up a new browser window. Go ahead and log into your shell. Just type Office 365. You don't have to do the install again. Go over to your mobile device. Spin up your bash shell there. Same thing. Type Office 365. Hey, you're all good and ready to go.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to go try this. And anybody that's listening that actually wants to kind of follow the steps, see what the different commands are, you wrote a blog post that kind of walks you through setting all of this up. We can link to that in the show notes. One question I have with Azure, like you said, and I've seen it too, once you log into the Cloud Shell, you're automatically connected to Azure. You can even do things like go get your Azure AD users, because technically that's all Azure, even though it's still tied to Office 365. Does this somehow automatically recognize all of that and log you into Office 365 when you launch the Office 365 CLI? Or do you have to go enter the connect commands and connect to your tenant and do all of that with a CLI running in the Cloud Shell?
You still have to go ahead and do that connection and get things to go through. So for the most part, the only tooling that knows what it's doing is the Azure tooling. So in this case, like the Azure CLI, right? AZ log. So it's already done like AZ login for you. So we can see your subscriptions. It knows what account you are. You might have to do some, if you have multiple subscriptions, do some selection. But because it has that tooling, I can always do AZ login. And if you granted me access to one of your subscriptions, I could go ahead and go ahead and get in that way too, right? One of the neat things we can do now is, say you were like, hey, Cloud Shell's awesome, but really I do want to make sure that I'm always logged in to the Office 365 CLI, or maybe I have the variables ready to go or things like that. Again, you have full access to your profile. You can store configuration, anything you want to do there. So if you do want to bootstrap in, you've got access to Bash RC, right? So you can go ahead and kind of pre-instantiate variables and things like that and have them ready to go. And in the case of PowerShell, same thing. You've got PowerShell profiles, right? So you can update your profile and have it all logged in and ready to go across your tool chain and what you use.
Very nice. So a few other tricks. We have some other links in here. We're actually getting close to time already. It goes by so fast, but there are some other things you can do, some other blog posts. The one that has caught my eye is adding Azure Cloud Shell to Visual Studio Code.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the really neat ones, right? So when we start to take the Cloud Shell across all these environments, all we're doing is just loading a container. So let's go ahead and load a container. So somebody was nice enough to create an extension for VS Code that is, I believe it's just the Azure account extension, which lets you go ahead and load up your Cloud Shell from there. Again, both Bash and PowerShell. So having access to that, hey, if I'm already internet connected and it's got all my tool chain and everything else, just go ahead and connect.
Yeah, exactly. I was just reading his blog post here, and it is. Then it gives you a nice editor to be able to edit those Bash scripts, those PowerShell scripts, whatever you want to do, because obviously one thing in the Cloud Shell is there's not really any editor built into it. So you're either running already scripted commands or scripts that you've already saved, or you're just writing them and running them. This way, you have an editor, so you can kind of edit some of those scripts, test them out, have them ready, and then run them all right within Visual Studio Code. So it looks pretty straightforward. Just go install that Azure account extension and you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, you'll add the account extension, you'll log in once. So there is kind of a login and authorization flow that goes with that, right? Just so it knows your account and that you're ready to go and run that. But once you're up and running, you know, again, you've gone through Bootstrap, you're in a run state, you're all set and ready to go. You mentioned editors. There are editors available within Cloud Shell. So within like the Bash shell, that is VI, so Vim, Emacs, and Nano. You may or may not get like syntax highlighting. You know, you're not going to get all the nice things that you get in like VS Code, like linting and being able to do all that good kind of stuff. But there is a little bit ready to go for you. For some reason, the PowerShell one is different. Like, you don't get Emacs over there. You just get VI and Nano. So you definitely might prefer VS Code in that case.
Yeah, I was just playing with the PowerShell one to see which ones I had there. So yeah, very cool. I'm definitely going to have to go spend some more time playing with this, try to get Office 365 into my environment and play with that as well. So I think that about takes us to time.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you again next week. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.